Feel the pulse of the city. Feel the beat of the drum. Feel the bass blow your hair. In Las Vegas, live music delivers much more than sound. It's where music comes alive. With artists like Megan Thee Stallion, Maroon 5, Carrie Underwood, Shania Twain, Babyface, Lionel Richie, and many more. Every show is a playground for your senses. See the full summer lineup at visitlasvegas.com.
Ready to pop the question and take advantage of 30% off? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com to get 30% off select lab-grown diamonds. That's BlueNile.com for 30% off lab-grown diamonds. BlueNile.com.
Welcome to the Sports Ethos Kings Cast. It's Daly, joined by William from the All Rookies Podcast. How are you, man?
Good, good. Glad to be with you. You know, I've been a fan of your work, following you on Twitter for a while, so it's glad to be on your show.
Appreciate the kind words, and likewise. So first thing I want to know, I always like to get to know my guests before we start talking about business. What's your villain origin story? How did you become a basketball fan?
Right. I started my whole life, I guess it was because of my dad. But, you know, I played, collected basketball cards ever since I was little and everything. But as far as getting into the podcasting world, you know, I started in 2020, and that was all thanks to Dan Bezbris, you know, the former pretty much head of Sports Ethos, formerly Hoopball. You know, I wouldn't be here without him. He literally taught me everything about podcasting, video, production, everything, you know. But I told him I had this idea for the All Rookie Podcast. Because he had me dibbling and dabbling in podcasts on other people's shows and, you know, appearances on YouTube and stuff. So I said, I want to do my own show. But, you know, I playing Dynasty Fantasy Basketball, you know, sometimes when you have a late pick in a deep draft, you really have to study the players later in those rounds. So I started doing that, and I found some steals in fantasy that guys on podcasts were not talking about. When you listen to podcasts for the draft, a lot of time they focus on the top five, top 10 guys. So I said, that could be a lane for me, you know. And the two guys that stood out was Sadiq Bey and Emmanuel Quickley. And I hadn't heard nothing about them. And I looked at their tape and I'm like, these guys are really good. So I felt there was a lane for those players that were not talked about as much to be talked about, you know. So I, you know, they exceeded their draft position. So they performed well in their rookie season. I knew, I think, I'm on to something, you know. So the sleepers, the hidden gems, the players that may start off slow but will be good players in the future, I felt they needed a spotlight, and I could bring light to that.
So I'm assuming eventually just that's how you became part of the draft community?
Yes, for sure, for sure. But, yeah, I had an idea because Dan was giving people podcasts left and right. I was like, he hasn't offered me a pod. So I said, I either need to talk about the Hornets because I'm here in North Carolina, or, you know, my other passion was the draft. So I went with the draft.
That's fantastic. So is that, are the Charlotte Hornets your preferred team?
Yes, unfortunately. Yes.
Yeah, it'll be rough, man.
A little rough.
Hopefully they break out of their issues soon.
One
we'll
day.
See. That's a whole nother topic, isn't it?
Yeah, for sure.
So, like I said before, we are going to break the script considering the last time we spoke. But before we talk about that, BetOnline is your number one source for the NBA Finals and Stanley Cup Finals this season. Every stat, every matchup, and even live odds and spreads while the games are being played. When the game's over, head on over to our online casino and get in on a game of blackjack or poker, or unwind with one of our over 150 slots games. Head to the website today to get in on the action. Use promo code BELIEV, B-L-E-A-V, for your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Bet online, the game starts here. Three new mock drafts have come out. Three different players have been mocked to the Kings. Some I like, some I don't. I'm not too crazy about, considering that we do need a rim protection and just length and size. I personally would love to for the Kings to follow like the Pelicans formula, or maybe the old Raptors Vision 6-8 formula of just drafting lengthy athletic players, but oh well. First person I want to talk about was mocked to the Kings by Kevin O'Connor's latest mock draft for the Ringer, Dalton Connect. What can you say about him?
Dalton Connect, you know, I have him mocked 17th to the Lakers right now. I liked his game. He was a tremendous scorer in college, 22 points per game. But for me, I'm not as high on him as the consensus is. You know, I have him mocked 17th to the Lakers, but he's my 21st ranked prospect. You know, he's a good player. He's good at everything, but not a special player. You know, I like how he can get his own shot, get by his man. He's not fast, but he's crafty, you know, but he doesn't really have any dynamic skill. You know, he shot 40% from three, so that's really good. He gets good elevation on his shot. He's a perfect college player, in my opinion, but I'm worried about that translating to the NBA. Is he just going to be a shooter? You know, that happens to a lot of guys that are not super athletic or fast, and they do a lot in college, and then they're minimalized to one certain skill. And so that's why I'm not high on him as a lottery prospect. He would fit your team well because you don't need much. You know, you guys are right there, playoff contenders every year. But, yeah, for me, it would be okay if you drafted him at 13. You know, like I say, I have him going around 17 to 21 range.
Yeah, unfortunately, I was able to watch Dalton Connect in the Elite Eight against Purdue, which is probably the worst game I could see from him, considering he goes off, which starts getting you delusional about what they could be in the NBA, right? Yeah. For example, I saw the infamous Johnny Davis game against also Purdue against Jaden Ivey, where he clamped him and went off as well. And I'm still a Johnny Davis believer. I'm like the one guy that's still out there thinking that Johnny Davis might evolve into something special. And I'm not going to give up hope. But back to Dalton Connect. Okay, good to know. I don't have a problem with him at all. He does have very average measurables, right, from the NBA Combine, from the Draft Combine. So, yeah, I'm in the same boat as you. I wouldn't mind, but I'm not too crazy about it, if that makes sense.
Right. Yeah.
All right. Next player is Matas Buzelis. He was mocked to the Kings by Sam Vecenie in the Athletics mock draft, which was released probably yesterday, I think. What's your take?
Now, if you get Matas Buzelis, that's a home run. He's my fourth-ranked prospect in this draft class. Really high on him, 6'10". Forward from the G League, you know, 14 points per game. He can get out and run the floor extremely well. You know, he plays like a 6'8 small forward out there. He's a very versatile big, very athletic, can create his own shot. Very aggressive and strong in the paint. I mean, it might be an embarrassment of riches. Is he going to be like helping Domantas Sabonis when he comes off the court? You're not going to be missing too much, you know, after a while. But, yeah, I would love that for you guys. I hope he does not fall that far. He's too talented to fall to 13. But if he does, that would be incredible.
Now, I know comps are, some people say they're lazy, but can you give us maybe a comp for his floor and maybe a comp for his ceiling?
I actually do that every year. I come up with player comparisons, but I never force them. This year, I have like 25 guys that I have great player comps with. For him, I did not have one, you know, because when I watched the film, it just comes to me instinctively. So I did not have one for Matas Buzelis. Do you have one?
No, I think that's a good thing. That means he's unique. Think. You know what I mean? Where you just can't place his game anywhere. I will say, though, and I wish I did watch more G League, but, you know, when your team's good, in my opinion, I feel like you're more focused on your NBA team more than anything else. When my team was trashed, when we were a poverty franchise, I was way more into the draft, just excited to see who we may get, right? So, but I did see him in the All-Star weekend during those, you know, those rookie games, rising star games. And I loved his attitude. I thought that, you know, I know this is cliche, but he kind of had that dog in him. He looked like a competitor. Yeah, so if anything, that's what I'm most excited for. About him, and not to mention, you know, what do you think about his lateral movement?
I think he'll be okay. He has all the tools to be a good defender in the NBA. He can guard him on the perimeter or in the paint. So, you know, that's exceptional. That's rare. You know, I don't think he's able to stop true bigs right now because he only weighs 210. But, you know, the way the league is trending, it's a lot of skinnier centers out there. So I don't think that'll be a problem. And if it is, if teams are truly concerned about that, you're going to want to pair him with a bigger five. But I don't think it'll be too much of a problem.
Yeah, I feel like he has above average athleticism. So, yeah, that's exciting. Yeah, I agree. If we got Matas Buzelis at 13, I don't think he would drop that far, like you said. But if he does, yeah, that would be amazing. Now, the next player I've actually seen mocked to the Kings more often than not, it seems like a lot of draft experts are assuming that we are going to lose Malik Monk to free agency. So maybe that's why they're picking Devin Carter to the Kings. How do you feel about him?
I really like Devin Carter. You know, he's my 13th ranked prospect, ironically, and you guys have the 13th pick. In my latest mock draft, I have him going to Miami. But Devin Carter, 6'3 point guard out of Providence, 21 years old. Very crafty, intelligent scorer, good three-point shooter. I mean, he's everything you want in a player. I think he's a point guard, though. Can he play alongside De'Aaron Fox with that small lineup? I don't know if that's the best spot for him. You know, I think y'all would probably want to upgrade the shooting guard position. But, I mean, it never hurts to put the best player available on your squad. How would you like that fit with two smaller guards? You know, clearly that's not really working out in Cleveland like the way they want it.
That's Kings basketball. Apparently it works for us sometimes. I mean, especially when you have exceptional players like Malik Monk and De'Aaron Fox who play extremely well with each other. How was Devin Carter off ball when you looked at his tape?
Off ball, I mainly watched him a lot with the ball, with his playmaking. You know, everything he does on offense is incredible. He has a tremendous anticipation for where the ball is going on defense. But for me, if you want to compare him, you know, you mentioned the comparison aspect of his game. He reminds me of Jose Alvarado when he was in college, but 3 inches taller, 20 pounds heavier, and better offensively. So to me, that's a starting point guard in this league and a steal anywhere past 10, honestly.
So do you think he's plug and play off the bench in his rookie year?
I think depending on the team, he could start. But, yeah, for sure, especially since, you know, he was a senior, junior or senior, I can't remember, but 21 years old. And, you know, you could tell that he's not a freshman coming in just trying to get his own points or look out for himself. You know, he is a ready-to-go traditional point guard role player that is ready to go from day one.
Fantastic. All right, so we'll get back on track. what are your tiers? Like, are Alexander Sarr and Zachary Sachet, are they in a tier of their own? How did you place everybody?
You said Zachary Sachet and who else? Alex Sarr?
Alexander Sarr, yeah.
Yeah. For me, you know, like you mentioned, a lot of mock drafts came out today, including mine came out today as well. But I look at it a lot differently than most other scouts, experts, whatever you want to call them. To me, my three top players that are in a class of their own, the tier of their own, are Alex Sarr, Isaiah Collier, and Cody Williams. To me, those are by far the top three players in this draft class. And from then on, it's 4 to 14. They all are possibles. You know what I mean? They could be really good. They could not. You know, they all have the ability to succeed and not. But for me, those three players, Isaiah Collier, Alex Sarr, and Cody Williams, are the sure things in this draft class.
Now, when you say sure things, are you referring to their ceiling in potential?
All encompassing, yeah. I think there's no way that they will fail. I think Isaiah Collier has star potential. Alex Sarr should be in the, you know, guaranteed starting 4 or 5 for a team. Cody Williams, I think, will continue to get better each year and will be a great prospect. But everyone else, it's kind of iffy, but there are ways that they can succeed and not. Like 4 to 14, like I said, that's not negative. They all have the potential to be good. And then 15 to 30, there's another tier there. But the the ranges of the tiers are bigger than most drafts, I feel. So, you know, like, if you have the, like, the Kings, you have the 13th pick, that's not a traditional 13th pick. You know, you're still going to get a really good player because anywhere from 4 to 14, they're all kind of jumbled in there together.
Right. So, like, last year, I felt like picks 20 to 45 were all in the same tier.
Yeah, to me.
Yeah,
it was kind of like that, yeah.
How do you feel this year? So you're saying 15 to 30 is the second round definitely. Does the second round definitely feel like the second round this season, this summer, or what are you thinking?
I say, you know, it's going to be 58 picks in this draft. I say there's 50 really talented players in this class. So 31 to 50, I think, are pretty interchangeable. All very talented, all could succeed. Some of them are, give them a year in the G League and then they'll be really good. You know, those type of players. And some of them are just, they can come in and play a role. But, yeah, the gaps are like that, 31 to 50. Like you said, y'all have the 45th pick. You should be in a good spot there as well. But we'll get to that in a little bit, I'm sure.
Yeah, and then not only that, I am going to ask you, if we have time, I'll ask you who your second-round steals are going to be then.
Let me mention to you one player real quick. Okay. Have you seen Terrence Shannon from Illinois?
Yeah, it's, you know what? I'm not going to lie. I was a fan of him last year, mm-hmm. and then he, you know, returned to school, and everybody was talking about the big man at Illinois. But to me, every time I watched Illinois, Terrence Shannon was a player who popped, right?
Right.
Especially as a freshman. I kind of stopped talking about him just because off the court,
yeah,
you know, somewhat problematic. And I think a lot of people are being irresponsible on commenting on that. Because, you know, we don't know the full story yet. We right. really, and we never will. That's between him and the accuser. And yeah, it's really unfortunate. So yeah, no, I think he's tough, but I think that's the reason why he's not mentioned too often is because right. of the off-the-court issues, right?
Yes. But just strictly basketball related, I have him mocked to you guys. So like I said, I don't know how much that's going to hurt him or not, but I think he would come in and fit that shooting guard role perfectly for you guys. But yeah, we'll see. You know, that's clearly off-field issues hurt some players, some don't. Brandon Miller last year had an issue, but that didn't affect him in the draft. But it all just depends. The NBA is going to do this investigation or whatever and whatnot. But yeah, I've seen him really maybe in the 20s, 30s, 40s, all over the place. But for me, he's a lottery talent in this draft class. But what, like I said, we'll have to see what happens with that.
Yeah, I agree, man. I think his upside is very high because he pretty much controls games, in my opinion. So who do you think can fall out of the top five? And so when we talk about top five, do you follow any composites or do you just want to go from your own mock draft?
Well, see, yeah, I don't really follow the consensus, you know, but I do know Donovan Clingan, Zachary Richichet, they're all in that top five type of area. I don't think either one of them really should be in the top five. So in my opinion, they would fall, you know. But yeah, I try not to get my evaluation clouded by too many other sites or podcasts. Like I have Donovan Clingan ranked 21st, you know. So if I listen to too much consensus where everyone's talking about he can go third, teams are trading up for him, that's going to cloud my actual evaluation. So, is there anyone you would want to ask me about specifically? I know I have Richichet ranked. He's ranked 9th on my, you know, big board. So neither one of those guys should be in the top five to me.
That's interesting. So what's your problem or what?
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code POD to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code POD at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code POD.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
What's your issue with Klingon?
Well, I think he's a bit of a system big man. Let me see what I have him going 21st to the Pelicans in my latest mock draft, you know, but he's a big body center, traditional post player. He gets good position in college, but he's not very athletic and he's not very strong in the paint. He is always in the right spot, constantly cutting to the rim, getting in position for easy buckets, has soft touch in the paint, runs the floor with great effort. But it seems like to me, he's mainly a victim of circumstance. And by that, I mean, all his points come because he's in the right position. You know, he's gifted a lot of baskets because of his height, his weight. You know, he was 265 in college. He's like 282 right now at the combine. But it just seems like he's not talented enough to create his own, especially in the NBA. It's going to be even tougher. He doesn't really have a special skill or talent. You know, he takes him a while to score when he's backing players down. I just think he seems like a really good college center. He honestly seems like he needs to spend some time in the G League. But, you know, we will see depending on the team he goes to. He's a good rim protector, good shot blocker. But to me, he's very similar to Ivica Zubac, who went 32nd in the draft. And he's a lot heavier than him and not really as talented as him. So, like, even if he is a starting center in the league, I think he'll be 20th to 30th ranked. You know, the Clippers, I believe they've needed an upgrade for center for years now. So I don't think he will be a top 20 center ever really in the league.
I actually think Zubac is underrated defensively. He gives people fits, I think.
He's solid. I have nothing against him, but I wouldn't want him in a top five in a draft. You know what I mean?
Right. Well, how do you feel about, and I promise you this isn't a lazy comp, and I know a lot of people comp a lot of draft prospects, and they base it on race. You know what I mean? They comp the white guy to the white guy, et cetera. But honestly, could he possibly have a Walker Kessler rookie year and be a shot blocker?
I mean, the shot blocking is there. So that's something that you can look forward to, but it's just the Walker Kessler is a lot faster of a player. I don't remember how much Walker Kessler weighed, but being 282, that concerns me a little bit, you know, and not being athletic and fast. So, but yeah, I also was down on Walker Kessler. So, you know, I could be wrong about Donovan Klingon. But yeah, the shot blocking in college normally does translate pretty well. It's going to depend on where he goes as well, though. If he goes to Memphis, you know, he's going to be sharing the position a lot of the time. So, you know, Jaren Jackson's going to be there as well. But it just depends, but like I said, good rim protector, good shot blocker, but it's just kind of to me.
That's interesting. So since we're talking about bigs, what's your take on Zach Edey then?
Zach Edey, I have him going to the Raptors. He's a player that if it works, it's going to work really, really well. If it doesn't work, it's going to be like a Boban type of situation, you know, but I don't have a problem with him. You know, you expect the rim protection should guarantee to be there. You know, and he's 7'4", 300 pounds. Those 300 pounds don't look bad on him because he's 7'4", average 2 blocks per game. He's much improved from last year. I was really down on him last year. I'm glad he went back to school. I think NBA coaching will get him in better positioning and he'll learn even more moves offensively. It's just, My only real issue is, would he be able to do what he did in college? You know, he put up 25 and 12 in college. Will he be able to do that against grown men in the NBA? He may be able to do a little bit of it because of how tall he is. I think Victor Wembanyama being 7'4" and flourishing, even though they're not alike at all, just seeing someone that big, you normally say that's probably not going to work. But I think that will sway some people to be like, well, maybe if we do a few things here and there, Zach Edey can become a player in this league.
If anything, I'm more impressed with his work ethic. I think seeing him evolve from his freshman year to his draft year, the transformation is amazing.
For sure.
Like, he was not chiseled. He wasn't cut at all. Just kind of had a thick body. And then this draft year, he looked amazing, right? He was super fit. His mobility increased. So, yeah, I'm hopeful for him too. Of course, I'm an optimist, though, so we'll see. I really do hope, you know, he pans out.
Yeah, he's not stiff, you know, like a Taco Fall was, you know. So I think he's got a real good chance.
Yeah, all right, fantastic. I'm going to ask you about Adem Bona later. I'm a UCLA guy, so I got to ask about my Bruins, but I'll ask about him later. I need to know, though, because I disagree with the statement. Is this draft as weak as they say it is? I mean, I just feel like, what if this draft produces a lot of rotation players that are going to play the next 5 to 10 years? I mean, if that's the case, then I don't think it's a weak draft. I mean, I know they always base drafts from the stars that are created. You know what I mean? Like, you know, a few years ago, you had Paolo, and then Wemby was last year. I know it's all about the stars and that's how they consider the quality of drafts, but is this draft really as weak as they say it is?
Well, like you say, it depends on how you look at it. If you're looking for star talent, I would say yes. But if you're looking for players that are going to be in this league 10 plus years, I think this draft is full of them. You know, so I think in aspect of depth, of quality players, it's loaded with talent. You know, it's just the consensus is kind of being lazy in that aspect because they just want the all-stars. I don't think it's full of all-stars, but it's for sure full of players that can play 10 years in this league. Like a guy that people are not talking about, Tyler Kolek, he easily could play 12 years in this league, point guard. So I like his game.
Right. I mean, they said Ant and Tyrese Haliburton's draft year was supposedly weak. And here they are leading their teams in the conference finals. So
right. You
never really know, especially I feel like there are so many solid basketball trainers now.
For sure.
And player development. So it's like, who knows how a player can work out over the summer and evolve their game in whatever, what may be. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And another thing, they have a lot of role players kind of in their consensus lottery. So that's why my top three tier looks different than most, because those are guys that I can see being all-stars, but they're not, they only have star in that, you know, range. So I think Cody Williams, Isaiah Collier should be in there. You know, also like Tyler Smith, I think he could be a star one day, Ron Holland, you know, so it just depends how you're looking at it. But I think there's potential for, I would say, this draft class to upset some consensus.
Yeah, I hope so. I love it when I see people just be wrong. I don't know. Maybe I'm a hater. What do you want to say? All right. So what five candidates do you see for the Sacramento Kings at 13 in case they don't find a trading partner for that 13th pick that they're supposedly trying to shop around?
Right. Well, right now, my 45th ranked player is Bobby Klintman. So he's a guy that could be in that range. I was higher on him last year. I was expecting him to get better this year, but you know, he should be in that range. It's possible he could be a little higher, but you know, in that range, I also have KJ Simpson, really good point guard, Jalen Wells, great three-point shooter. Now I got some foreign guys. Mantas Rubstavivas, Yannick Craig, Bogolubjub Margovic, and Usman Ndiaye. So it's a lot of names. It just depends on how the draft falls, you know, honestly. But there's a lot of talent. It's some guys that people may have never heard of that could fill roles. And before the Kings, you guys are pretty stacked. I think you only really would use your first round pick your second round pick, you probably would end up in the G League all year, like you did with my guy, Nemi Escada. I was really disappointed he never got to play with you guys. And that seemed like a position of need. But, you know, you guys are trying to win and not necessarily develop players. So it's kind of going to be an embarrassment of riches for your 43rd pick. I don't think you'll really use them.
So, yeah, you know what? Later on, off the record, yeah, if you could please text me or DM me those names that you mentioned, that'd be great. So what about 13, though, if in case they keep it and actually pick somebody?
Yeah, well, like I mentioned earlier, I think Terrence Shannon. But also, in my first time I looked at things, I had Castle going there. But it seems like he's going to be, you know, in the top five this year.
Oh, he's super rising right now. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, okay, we talked about guys who I think will fall. I mean, I guess he won't. But for me, he's like the 16th ranked player, in my opinion. But, you know, so he would have been a good fit for you guys. But honestly, for me, looking at your team, I think any good shooting guard. So you don't see shooting guard as the main issue for your team. I think you need an upgrade from Herder. And if Malik is gone, shooting guard. I don't know if a center will really get minutes on your team. I think you probably need a center. But what do you think?
Well, I think if we're trying to contend and we're doing the whole win now thing, I think whoever we get, and I'm not talking about the draft, it's going to be somebody who's a veteran. So that'll be through the trade. I think if we do use a pick at 13, that person is definitely going to be like a Tyrese Halliburton a few years ago, where they're going to be coming off the bench and contributing maybe 6 to 10 minutes a game, that type of thing. Because, you know, if you're trying to contend and win now and get to the second round and beyond, you don't have time to develop anybody.
Right.
So we need somebody older that has a swing skill where they could play right away and definitely contribute. So, yeah, Terrence Shannon is cool. I do want a self-creator that's above 6'5". You know what I mean? Unfortunately, all of our self-creators, Malik Monk and De'Aaron Fox, are small. And then there's Keegan, who I actually think is going to blow up this next season.
I think
and get more of a bag. But, you know, it's always nice to have a third or fourth option that's taller than 6'5" that can create for themselves. So, but knowing that, anybody else come to mind at 13 for you?
You know, you could go Jacoby Walter. I don't have him ranked that high. I know consensus has had him higher. But I really think you really need to see how the board falls. But there's not a lot of dynamic shooting guards really in this class. So if you want to go the small forward range, I don't know how you guys are going to handle the Harrison Barnes aspect. Is he on his last year of his contract? Are you going to keep him? You're going to trade him?
We definitely want to trade him.
I know, right?
Well, you see, me personally, I think Harrison Barnes would be amazing off the bench. He still has value.
Right.
He's great. You know what I mean? I don't think he should be traded. But if that's what it takes, then so be it. But it has to be an upgrade. I think our two-guard position is solidified with Keon Ellis.
He's definitely
come along. Yeah, because of defense, man. And you know, basically, I just look at Denver. Prime KCP is amazing. So I think Keon Ellis can be in that KCP role where just a strong defender and hit corner threes. I think that's perfect. And that's what he could do, and he does it well, I think.
Well, you know, like I said, I'm high on Cody Williams. He's my third-ranked prospect, but I've seen him in the 10 to 15 range. If he gets to Sacramento, that would be a home run, in my opinion.
Yeah, but I just feel like he's maybe two seasons off just because he's so thin. Like, he would have to
work on in an aspect, he is raw. Most players that are raw can't shoot, so he's ahead of the curve. He's raw and can shoot, so his potential is scary, but – Yeah, I feel you on that.
Yeah, I know. I'm very thankful that Colorado had so many talented people, so he didn't really have time to come in and kill my Bruins. You know, he'd come in for like 10 minutes, maybe, if that.
Yeah.
And always showing flashes, smooth as silk, could shoot. No, I totally see the talent. But I look at him and I'm like, that's not a Monty McNair guy, because he does have like a young person's body. You know what I mean?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
All right. So moving on, you know, selfishly, I wanted to ask you about players who I'm interested in for the Kings, and they all seem to have their issues. Unfortunately, I feel like they've been up and down during this draft cycle as far as where they're placed. Some people have them higher or lower. And I feel like the most consistent person is Tristan Da Silva, but we'll get to him. The first person I want to ask you about is Yves Missi. What's your take?
I'm high on him. He's my 12th ranked prospect, you know, 6'11 big man from Baylor. He very much so reminds me of Clint Capella, long athletic center, should be a good rebounder and shot blocker. He has a few post moves, you know, he still seems to be learning the game a little bit. So you can say semi-raw if you want to, but for centers, it's not so bad to be semi-raw because a lot of them, like Derek Lively, you know, I didn't think he was ready, but you can rim run, you can be a lob threat, you can block shots, pick and roll. You'll be good to go out there. Anything near the rim, Yves Missi is slamming it, you know, and I think his potential is crazy. Being 19 and this good, it's a sign that he could be a good starter in this league, you know, tremendous shot blocker. And yeah, I think he is very capable of being a really good player in this league.
Yeah, I think his athleticism pops. He's definitely far above average athleticism. I don't know if he's Jaren Jackson Jr. athleticism, but it's up there, I would say. Would you agree?
Yeah, yeah. And being 19, yeah, like I say, anything near the rim, he's dunking it. So, you know, but I it could be a lazy comparison. You know, he's African, Clint Capella. I see that very much so when Clint Capella was on the Rockets and was such a huge factor for James Harden. And, you know, he's starting off younger than Clint Capella with the ceiling to be better.
Okay, Tyler Smith.
Oh, that's my guy. Where is he? Like, you know, like I said, I don't look at consensus. Where is he in consensus? Like 20 or so, right?
Let me look right now. He's 19.
Yeah, see, that is insane to me. He's my sixth ranked prospect, 6'11 big man from the G League Ignite. Super athlete. He dunks everything in sight. I love his film. Very exciting player. Him and Isaiah Collier were probably the two most exciting players to watch their film on. And, you know, he's a good three-point shooter. Shot 36% from three. So what can he not do? You know, he even hit some step-back threes. You know, he doesn't – he's 6'11". He doesn't really play like he's 6'11", which is a good thing because he moves so well. Great pick-and-roll stretch, 4-5. Versatile, exciting new-age big that can help a lot of teams. You know, he could probably play the four as well. So he's versatile, great shot blocker as well, rim protector, 7'1" wingspan. Moves well for his size. In my opinion, he is a taller, longer John Collins, you know, and he already is ahead of the curve in that aspect because John Collins didn't shoot threes when he was in college. So Tyler Smith's ceiling is ridiculous to me.
What about his self-creation? Can he put the ball on the floor?
A little bit. You know, being 6'11", that's not something that you necessarily need to have right away. But he can put the ball on the floor a little bit. But I think for the most part, he's probably not going to be allowed to do that as much in the NBA. But, you know, he scored 14 points per game. He's mainly going to probably be hanging around the rim or popping out for a three. I don't think he'll be creating too much. He's a good cutter to the rim as well.
You mentioned John Collins. Any other comps for Tyler Smith?
Ready to pop the question and take advantage of 30% off? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com to get 30% off select lab-grown diamonds. That's BlueNile.com for 30% off lab-grown diamonds. BlueNile.com.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
That's all I say, see right now.
Interesting. Nice. Next player is one of my guys. I'm impressed with him, but he is on some big boards. He's in the 40s. One person had him 50s. It's crazy. Daron Holmes.
Yeah, I'm high on him. I had him in the 30s coming out of the draft last year. He decided to stay in. It was pretty surprising to me. I'm sure he thought he was going to move up a lot. And like you said, it's weird. It's like the consistency is down on him. He's my 25th ranked player. I think he is destined to be a starting center in this league. Can do everything you want, protect the paint, 6'10", 220 pounds, and he's a good shooter. A lot of these centers that could do a lot of those things are not good shooters. You know, he shot 38% from three, and not only threes, though. You know, he can shoot 20-foot jumper as well. He's not stiff, good pick and roll player. Passes out of doubles well, moves his feet well on defense, great shot blocker. So I think I have him going to the Knicks in my latest mock draft because I don't know what they're going to do with Mitchell Robinson. Isaiah Hardison could be out of there. So a lot of people I've seen like 10 to 15, and then I've seen 40s and 50s. You know, I guess I'm in the middle. I have him at 25 range.
So when it comes to his defense, I mean – was he better as a roamer, weak side help, or is he better at one-on-one? What do you think?
Well, he just moves his feet very well on defense. He stays with smaller defenders. If they do get by him, you know, he can recover for the block, so he can help, you know, if his point guard gets beat, you know, or stay man-to-man, you know. And I just think that a lot of players as well, if you see some negatives with them when they're in college, it's not necessarily going to stay that way unless there's something physically wrong with them, you know? Like if they're 300 pounds and they're not athletic, that's not going to change. But Daron Holmes, you know, he went to a smaller school. I think any knocks on him, he's going to learn in the NBA if he gets with a good coach. I don't think there's any questions with his defense, honestly, in my opinion.
He'll fill out, right?
He will definitely fill out. Like I said, on offense, speaking of that, filling out, I think sometimes he doesn't go up strong in the post yet enough. You know, sometimes he fades away from contact. But as far as defensive-wise, I think he should be okay.
All right, so the next player is a lot of Kings favorite, and they want him to go to the Kings because I think he's plug-and-play, although I think people have him a little higher than how I feel about him. Tristan Da Silva.
Oh, Tristan Da Silva. Yeah, I like Tristan Da Silva. I have him going to my last mock, had him going to the Grizzlies. I feel that a lot of people think the Grizzlies are going to go with a big man. I think the Grizzlies sometimes come out of left field and do what they think is right, and they're normally right. But no, Tristan Da Silva, 6'9", tremendous three-point shooter, you know, he's not Keegan Murray, but I see why you may like him as a Kings fan. He might can do some Keegan Murray type of things. Excellent three-point shooter. Handles the ball well for his size. And being one of the best shooters in the draft at 6'9", I mean, that's your floor right there. He's going to be on the court. He's a guy that every team should want, you know. And I think his floor, honestly, as a player, you know, you ask for two comparisons on some of these players. His floor as a player could possibly be Nick Batum. Nick Batum now. And that Nick Batum now this year for the Sixers was he's very essential for that team. He helped them win some games in the playoffs. And, you know, the ceiling is, you could say, Nick Batum when he was younger and got a max contract, you know. But
that's amazing. So,
yeah. I'm very high on Tristan Da Silva. I think I've seen him maybe in the 20s earlier when the scouting process. But I think he should go in the lottery for sure.
Yeah, no, he killed my Bruins many times. I feel like his basketball feel is very high. He plays winning basketball. He was just always right there during 50-50 balls, just making the right play. And yeah, he does everything. He reminds me of, I don't know if this is a lazy comp, he just reminds me of a slightly more athletic slow-mo on Minnesota.
Essential player, you know?
Right. Glue guy, whatever you want to call it, for sure. Thank you so much for that.
Somebody's going to get a steal with him, because with him being 22 years old, nobody's going to want to take him in the lottery. So some good team is going to get a steal.
And he's going to be playing right away.
Yep.
For sure. The next person I feel is polarizing. Depending on the source, they would say, okay, well, he's figured out his lack of motor issues. And some people have said they've seen him behind the scenes, and he still kind of doesn't really try hard in workouts or maybe practice, but that's all rumors or what maybe one or two people have seen, and then some people follow suit. Kal-El Ware.
So I love Kal-El Ware. He's my eighth ranked prospect this year. You know, I think a lot of times scouts, coaches, they get a little maybe bored and they just overthink things. You know, they did that last year with Gigi Jackson. It's no way he should have fell to the second round, let alone 45. So they're trying to, you know, talk about players' motor, if they want to play, this, that. Kal-El Ware, look at the film. He is a very impressive big man, very athletic, 7 foot, 225 pounds. One of the few players that averaged a double-double this year, 16 and 10 with two blocks. Come on now. Many bigs play like him, can't shoot. He can shoot the ball, shot over 40% from three. And the skinny center thing is a thing now, obviously. I was against the smaller skinner centers, but with Chet and Wemby, Nick Claxton, that seems to be the trend. And he's bigger than them, so he should be fine. You know, he's a top 12 prospect, no doubt, in my opinion. I wouldn't mind the Kings getting him, like you mentioned. Kings fans are high on him. I am as well, and I think he could play with DeMontis. Does DeMontis like playing center? You know, is he like Anthony Davis? Anthony Davis doesn't like playing center.
Considering DeMontis Sabonis abuses Anthony Davis every time they play. He honestly does. And
right.
It's ridiculous, because it's kind of funny. No, he does. He loves playing center and he loves being physical. Depending on who he plays,
right,
his opponent is just going to have this look on their face by halftime. Like, damn it. Like when we played the Nets every time this year, Nick Claxton would just have this defeated look by the third quarter. And it was like, damn, because he's always, you know, he does that move. Right shoulder into your chest, left hook. I wish he would stop doing it, because he goes to that well too often. He actually has a bag, but then he forgets his moves. It's the weirdest thing. But yeah, anyways, he's super physical. He loves playing center.
Right. I remember, you know, I was a big fan of his in Indiana, and him and Miles Turner. I couldn't remember if he liked playing with the center or not. It seemed like there was friction there. So that would be the only concern with drafting Kal-El Ware. But, you know, having a backup center is not the worst thing, especially one as talented as Kal-El Ware. And, you know, great shot blocker, great on the offensive end. One thing about his game is, you know, he's such a great athlete. He jumps so high, trying to block shots, get rebounds, et cetera. I worry about him landing on someone's foot and something going wrong there. It's like, you're 7 foot. You don't have to jump that high. But it's very impressive when you watch it.
So when you watched his tape, you didn't have any concerns about his motor. You saw him running back. Like, what do you think?
For me, motor, I don't look at that, because I feel there's circumstances we cannot necessarily control. Like some guys, if they're on a team that's not that great, they're just not going to play all out. And I accept that. You know, it happens in the NFL. Randy Moss, you know, if he's on a bad team, he's not going to kill himself for that team. He's on a good team. You see what he did with the Patriots. So I think when Kal-El Ware goes to the pros, he would have to be a fool not to play hard for the pros, you know what I mean? I don't see many players not wanting to play basketball, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, I know what you're saying. It's always situational, right? Yeah. I just can't get what I've seen from him out of my head. And these were, you know, McDonald's All-American game. This is when he was with Oregon in the Pac-10 or Pac-12. He just was not impressive at all. You know, of course, this is a small sample size. You know, the one high school game I see him in didn't do much. And then at Oregon, barely played. And I know he had injuries. So it's like, it's always left a bad taste in my mouth. So if you're saying he fixed all these issues, and other people have said that as well, I guess that's the case.
I just think that's something I can't factor into my scouting, because that can easily throw off everything, you know. You know what I mean?
Right. Well, that's like Tari Eason, right? Like the rumors around draft time around him, and they were saying, oh, well, the interviews weren't great. It's like,
right,
who has access to that, really?
Right,
you know,
right.
Nobody does, except for maybe only the scouts. And then, you know, it's a horrible rumor to put on somebody.
Right.
And we all know how great Tari Eason is, and hopefully he gets through his injuries. All right, last person. This isn't on our outline. I apologize, but I told you I was going to ask you about Adem Bona. He's my guy. I think his motor is unreal. I think his athleticism is elite, but he lacks touch around the rim. What do you see?
Yeah, I like Adem Bona, 6'10", 235 pounds. He's not a shooter, no threes at all, but he's definitely an athletic freak. And so, you know, his numbers were great at the combine. You knew that. You didn't have to see him play basketball at all to know he was going to kill it at the combine. But yeah, his offensive game needs work, but I think he can be coached up to be effective. You know, he can hit, you'll see him hit a few jumpers every now and then, but he for sure will be a defensive stalwart. We've seen Gobert. He doesn't have to shoot jumpers to be successful. So, you know, you just got to be a big man with a long wingspan that can jump out the gym and play great defense. And I think he will instantly be able to do that. And then the ceiling, depending on, you know, the NBA, like we said, we have great shooting coaches in the NBA. But I think Adem Bona is probably the most athletic big man in this draft class. And I'm glad he went back to school, though, because last year I felt he would have went undrafted. And this year I have him ranked 26. So, you know, I think the whole center influx this year with the Timberwolves, with Derek Lively and those guys doing in Dallas, is going to raise the ceiling for centers in this draft class. And it could be maybe five in the first round.
So, William, did you put him at 26 because you're just talking to me? Or are you just trying to make me happy? Or is he 26 because he's been 26? Or is he 26 because a lot of people have went back to school? How did you have him earlier?
Actually, the people that went back to school, no one was that high. So it didn't affect that. I'm not trying to, you know, butter you up. like I said, I did not like this guy last year, so I didn't want to have him this high this year. But me a little bit also seeing the Derek Lively, the Rudy Gobert effect and how that's helping those teams, I can see where he is definitely going to come in and be a defense-ready player, and we'll see how the offense comes.
I agree. I think just being a vertical threat and rim protector, if you keep it simple, right? I think anybody can control.
And obviously, you're going to have to need a power forward that can shoot the ball alongside him, and then you'll be okay. You can't have two guys that can't shoot out there.
Oh, absolutely. And we all know part of Derek Lively's success is the fact that he is playing with a Luka and a Kyrie. It's like, come on now. It's ridiculous. So considering all those players, Tyler Smith, Eves Missy, Daron Holmes, Tristan Da Silva, Khalil Ware, we'll leave Adem Bona out of that. What tiers would you place them?
Well, Tyler Smith and Khalil Ware are together. I have a terrible memory. We say Daron Holmes. Who else? Tristan Da Silva. Da Silva right there in that top three tier.
So Tyler Smith, Khalil Ware, and then Tristan Da Silva, all three together?
I think so.
Okay.
They're all in my top 11, so.
Okay. And then Daron and
Eves Missy. Eves Missy
are after that?
Yeah, Eves Missy is probably in the next tier because the offensive game I'm not sure about, but I'm still sure that he should be a lottery player And then Deron Holmes has some physical tools that he needs to work on, so he'd be under them. So if are you talking about for the Kings?
So those are our six guys, well, five guys that I would love to get be on the Kings.
The first three are in the group, and then Eves Missy, then Deron Holmes. But I don't think either of them will fail with the Kings, honestly.
Oh, absolutely. I one thing's for certain is that Mike Brown never asks too much from anybody outside of their skill set. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And he's going to get the most out of you. So, you know, like Khalil Ware that we talked about, let him go to Sacramento. That's where we want him to go. Because I've seen Mike Brown get on them boys in Sacramento. So that's what Khalil Ware might need if anyone's worried about his, you know, motor.
Yeah, 100%. All right, we're winding down here. Next thing I want to do is play a little game with you. Start, bench, G League. We'll start off with the player edition. Reed Shepherd, Stephen Castle, Rob Dillingham.
Start, bench, G League, right? Okay, yes. Yeah. So I would have to start Rob Dillingham for sure. You know, he's my seventh-ranked player, dynamic point guard. He's just a little undersized. You know, I wish he was a little bit taller, and he would be in that top three, top four category. I would have to – this kind of hurts me, but if we're talking start, bench, G League – I don't like Reed Shepherd at all, but I would have to bench him because of his three-point shooting. And then G League, I would have to take Stephon Castle.
That's interesting.
I didn't think when you – we talked about this beforehand. I didn't think I was going to end up that way, but that's how it worked out.
So what is it about Reed Shepherd? The measurables are horrible. Granted, you know – everybody talks about the shooting. I get it. The shooting is out of this world, especially for college. And then people talk about his great vertical that he displayed at the combine, but nobody ever says that he had great athleticism on the court when you're just watching film. Tell me about him. Why is he so intriguing? Why is he always in the top five or top 10 on everybody's big board? I'm a highlight watcher this year. My draft acumen is really poor this season. So tell me about him.
Well, yeah, 6'1", maybe 6'2", 190 pounds, averaged 12 points per game. But the key factor that stands out is the 52% from 3-point range. That's just outrageous. So he clearly is a lights out 3-point shooter. 19 years old. That's great. At times he can create his own 3-point shot and obviously get open to spot up for the three. So if you're looking at Golden State vein of players, if Klay's gone, Reed Shepherd would fit right in. But like I said, being a 6'1", 6'2", guard, he's not a point guard in my opinion. He played shooting guard at Kentucky. He's not going to just transition to the NBA and play point guards because he's short. So that worries me a lot. If he was point guard like Steph was, you know, in college, it wouldn't be such a worry. His handle is not like that to just be a point guard. So, and if he is point guard, you still don't see many 6'1", 6'2 point guards flourishing in the NBA. A lot of them are very talented and just out of the league because they're too short. A lot of short point guards don't get the opportunity. But the 3-point shooting could keep him on the floor, but he's a shooting guard in a small point guard's body. I don't see how it's going to work. When I watch his film, I see Corey Kispert, but 4 or 5 inches shorter. So that's not a lottery pick, in my opinion.
Yeah, he's an interesting case. I watch his film, and I just don't see it.
Yeah. I have him ranked 24th. I was like, that's the best I can do. I can't get higher than that.
So what about Rob Dillingham?
Love him. Handles out of this world. He reminds me, just dribbling the ball, he dribbles like Stephon Marbury. You know, like I said, he's my seventh-ranked player. I had him going to the Bulls, I believe, in my last mock draft. Point guard out of Kentucky. You know, everyone talks about those guys as far as they get better when they're in the NBA. It depends on the team he goes to. I don't know if the Spurs, which a lot of people have him going to, is the best destination. because he's not great at getting assists necessarily. He's more of a flashy point guard, but Pop could make it work. But he's a great athlete, great hops, great three-point shooter as well, 44.5% from three. Great shooting ability. His game will fit perfectly in the NBA. He'll be a starter right away, in my opinion. The only knock would be his height as well, because I think he was 6'1 without shoes, so 6'2 point guard. It can work. I think Scoot's 6'2, but the NBA is trending toward taller point guards. That's my only concern, but his game is no concerns about his game, really.
So his finishing is fine?
Well, you know, he is 175 pounds, so that will be an issue. He's going to have to bulk up. It's going to be a problem. But he is a very pesky defender on defense. He does everything you want to see. But, you know, being 19 years old, 175 pounds, you're not going to be ready to go into the paint in the NBA. That's going to take some time. So I would suggest him to stay out of the paint against big boy teams. But, you know, in the long run, he'll be fine.
Interesting. Yeah, I definitely worry about the physicality for him. But yeah, like
how,
we said,
how big was De'Aaron Fox when he came out of college? Do you remember that?
No, but he was thin.
Yeah, he was.
But he had he was that sinewy thin where, you know, like some thin people are just strong.
Yeah.
So he kind of always had that. And so that is an interesting name that you bring up because, yeah, when you think about thin, crafty point guards, De'Aaron is right there. Mm-hmm. Interesting. All right. Final segment, start, bench, G League again. Skills or attributes, whatever you want to call it. What's most important for you when it comes to prospects? Basketball feel, their physical tools, like their height, or a strong skill set or a swing skill, like being a great shooter or being a great shot blocker. Start, bench, G League.
Well, the way that the NBA is now, everyone is just so talented. You need all three, but, you know, physical tools are mainly in the negatives. That's what I'm looking for in the negatives. Like, normally, if you're too short, it's a problem. Other than that, I'm not too worried about physical, you know, tools. Like, there's a guy, Jalen Tyson. He looks like Isaac Okoro out there, so he's got the physical tools. But that doesn't mean he's in my lottery or anything. You know, feel for the game, that's very important. And obviously skill set is probably the most important because you have to, a lot of these guys are the number one, number two option in college. You're not necessarily going to be that in the NBA. So you're going to have a defined skill set for a lot of these guys, three-point shooting, rim running, shot blocking. So that's probably going to be the most important, especially if you're looking for overall talent. And I think if you're looking for like top five players, you might be looking for feel most importantly. But skill set is probably start, feel is bench, and physical tools would be G League.
Fantastic. I love it, man. This was a lot of fun.
No, it was tons of fun, man. It was great being on with you. I appreciate you having me on.
Yeah, real quick question though. Who do you want for the Charlotte Hornets?
I have them going with Tyler Smith right now. I think we're going to make the wrong decision no matter what though.
I love it. No, that, you know what? Basketball trauma is real, man.
Yes.
Like when that Woj bomb hit of him saying that the front office and Mike Brown had a gulf between them in the contract extension, all the Kings fans, it seemed like all of them on my timeline were like, oh, here we go again. Kings are kind of Kings. Like their basketball trauma could not allow them to believe that they were going to get this done. What do you know? They get it done in 2 days. I wasn't worried about it. It's a whole new regime. So hopefully your Charlotte Hornets have a new regime and they get it together. And then also, since it's happening tomorrow night, who are you rooting for, Celtics or the Mavs?
They're pretty equal. You know, I'll be happy for either team. Kyrie's already got a ring or two. So why not let the young guys, Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown, get a ring?
Fair enough. All right, man, this was a lot of fun. Where can people find you?
Thank you again. Yeah, I host the All Rookie Podcast, you know, with Sports Ethos on Twitter at William Is Bill. All the draft content you want to see and hear. And I appreciate you having me on. It was tons of fun.
100%. Thank you, William. Pleasure talking to you. Have a good night.
Peace.
Feel the pulse of the city. Feel the beat of the drum. Feel the bass blow your hair. In Las Vegas, live music delivers much more than sound. It's where music comes alive. With artists like Megan Thee Stallion, Maroon 5, Carrie Underwood, Shania Twain, Babyface, Lionel Richie, and many more. Every show is a playground for your senses. See the full summer lineup at visitlasvegas.com.
Dogs are an important part of our lives, and keeping them protected is a top priority, especially against nasty parasites. That's why you gotta check out NexGard Plus, afoxolaner, moxidectin, and pyrantel chewable tablets. NexGard Plus chews provide one-and-done monthly protection that kills fleas and ticks, prevents heartworm disease, plus it treats and controls roundworms and hookworms. That's a whole lot of protection packed into a delicious beef-flavored, soft chew designed to make monthly dosing easy and enjoyable. So the next time you're at the vet, ask about NexGard Plus Chews. They're the one-and-done monthly parasite protection you want for your dog. Use with caution in dogs with a history of seizures or neurologic disorders. Dogs should be tested for existing heartworm infection prior to starting a preventive.
Rack up the deals on everything summer at Nordstrom Rack and get brands you love up to 60% off. Vince, Kate Spade New York, Steve Madden, Madewell, Nike, and more. Great brands, great prices every day at Nordstrom Rack. Just in dresses, tops, shorts, sandals, sneakers, denim, luxury bags, and sunglasses. Rack up the deals today and save up to 60% on summer at your Nordstrom Rack store.
How about Cap'n Crunch's Crunch Berries with breakfast?
Whoa, Dad, we're on
Crunch Island. He's John LeFoot.
And he stole our crunch!
Quick, the zip line!
He's getting away!
Throw our last crunch berry!
No!
No one steals my crunch berries!
I think you mean my crunch berries? Choose your own crunch venture with Cap'n Crunch!
With the Wells Fargo Active Cash Credit Card, you can earn unlimited 2% cash rewards on purchases you want and purchases you need. That means you earn 2% cash rewards on what you want, like season tickets to watch your favorite team, and 2% cash rewards on what you need, like paying for parking. That's the beauty of the Active Cash Credit Card. It's ready when you are, with unlimited 2% cash rewards. The Wells Fargo Active Cash Credit Card. That's real life ready. Terms apply. Learn more at wellsfargo.com/activecash.